Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, let's take our Bibles and will you open them up with me, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 18. The book of Genesis, chapter number 18. Folks, I want to share a message with you this afternoon that in all honesty should thrill and excite you. I want to speak to you this afternoon on the God of the impossible. Praying for the impossible. And I want us to begin in a story in the Old Testament that really is a demonstration of God at His very best when it comes to the realm of the impossible. We're in Genesis chapter 18, and I want you to look with me, if you will please, at verse number 9, and they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "Am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" Now look at this thought. Verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." Folks, I fear that much of the time we limit our view of God to the realm of that which is probable, that which is possible, and that which is predictable. And yet, there is an incredible blessing that comes when you move into the realm of the impossible. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, thank you now for your word. I pray that you will use these moments that we share together this afternoon to encourage us and to excite us with a God who can do the impossible. Lord, we thank you for being that kind of a God. Help us to be encouraged today. Help me now as I speak. Thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Several years ago, we returned home from a trip, and I happened to be driving past my home church and saw my pastor's vehicle there, and so I swung in and ran in the office to say hello. We'd been gone for a time, and so we visited a few moments, and then he said something like this, "Hey, I got to tell you a story." He began to relate an experience that had happened the week before when one of the ladies in our church called and asked the pastor to go into the hospital because her aunt was basically on life support, in a coma, unresponsive, and she was a lost lady who did not know the Lord. The pastor made his way into the hospital, went to the waiting room where the family had gathered, introduced himself, tried to briefly get acquainted, and then said to the family, "Could I pray with you?" Interestingly enough, some of the family members actually out loud said, "No." At which point he said, "Well, I'm going to pray anyways." And he bowed his head and started to pray. The lady from our church told him later that while he was praying, there were members of the family in that waiting room who were outwardly mocking him. He finished his prayer, went back to intensive care, went to the bedside of this lady. One of the biggest concerns was the fact that her blood oxygen level had been dropping increasingly lower. In fact, if I remember correctly, it was somewhere down around 80% oxygen saturation, which is becoming a very, very serious life-threatening condition. He walked over to the bed. The lady's unconscious, unresponsive. A nurse is attending her, and he said to the nurse, "Would it be all right for me to pray?" The nurse said, "That's fine, but I'll have to continue doing what I need to do. You go ahead and pray." My pastor said he just bowed his head, standing there at the bedside, began to pray for this lady, specifically that she would regain consciousness and that they would have the opportunity to share the gospel with her. He got to the end of his prayer, said amen, and he said instantly on the digital readout on the equipment, measuring the oxygen level in her bloodstream, the number went to 98%. At which point, the nurse looked at the number, looked at him, and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm nobody special. I was just talking to God." He said, within minutes, the lady had regained consciousness, and he's standing there talking to her at her bedside, eventually sharing the gospel with her. He returned to the family room and informed this family that their aunt was now conscious and talking in intensive care. And now he had the opportunity to take gospel tracts and share a gospel witness with that entire family. Now, folks, I have to be very honest with you. As exciting as it was to hear that testimony, I've got to tell you something. And that is that my immediate response was simply this: why is it that that kind of a testimony seems so extraordinary? Why is it that that is more the exception than the norm? And I suppose as I think it through, the only conclusion I have to come to is simply the fact that very few of us ever try to enter the realm of praying for the impossible. Folks, yesterday when my wife and I left Pennsylvania early in the morning, yes, I prayed that God would give us a safe trip. But when you think about it, there is a sense in which that was a probable prayer. We made it safely, no complications. God answered our prayer. I'm thankful for that. A couple of months ago, my one grandson was injured rather seriously and ended up having some significant scars and had to be all put back together. And we prayed for him, prayed for his healing, prayed that he would be free of infection. But again, there's a sense in which that was praying in the realm of the predictable. A highly skilled plastic surgeon, antibiotics, proper treatment. It's very likely that he would get better, and he has. I've prayed prayers that the weather would improve for an event that we had going on. I've prayed that God would provide a need financially. I've prayed that God would provide a need material. But again, those requests have often been in the realm of the possible. But here's what makes praying in the realm of the impossible so unique. It's not praying that says it should happen, or it could happen, or it would happen. It's praying says that it will not happen unless God does it. And folks, I'm saying to you this afternoon that the realm of the impossible and praying in the realm of the impossible takes us to a new level with God that many of us have never experienced. In this incredible story of Abraham and Sarah, we really need to back up to chapter 17 to truly understand what is about to take place. And the reason is because in Genesis chapter 17, there are three individuals, three names that are mentioned. Let me show them to you, and you will understand chapter 18 better when we've looked at chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, look with me if you will please at verse 5. God is speaking. He says, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram." For sake of information, Abram was a name that meant high or exalted father. "But thy name shall be called Abraham, a name which means father of a multitude of nations." Abraham is the first name that we find in Genesis 17. But then drop down to verse 15 of chapter 17, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife," the name Sarai meaning princess, "thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." The name Sarah literally meaning mother of nations. Now let me pause for a moment. It's important that we understand that Abraham and Sarah have both just undergone a significant change in name, indicating by name that they are to become the father and the mother of not only nations, but a multitude of nations. By the way, I find it very interesting that in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17, Abraham laughed. And in chapter 18 and verse 12, Sarah laughed. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, they almost thought it funny. Why? Well, because the Bible makes it very clear that these two folks were becoming very, very elderly and still did not have a child. As a matter of fact, there's a side of me that also wants to laugh. We happen to know that at this point, Abraham is pushing 100 years of age. Sarah is pushing 90 years of age. Folks, there is only one reason why people that age go to the maternity floor. And it's to see the new great-great-great-grandkid that was just born into the family and to look through the glass and take pictures. My wife has told me that having babies was tough in her 20s and 30s. 90s? I'll give Sarah the benefit of the doubt. I can understand why she stepped around the side of the tent and just started laughing. You say, well, that's not possible. That's not probable. That's not predictable. Of course not. Medically, biologically, physiologically, it will not happen. But don't stop there, folks, because there's one more name in Genesis 17. And to be very honest with you, had it not been for that other name, nothing would have happened. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1, the beginning of the chapter. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, here it comes, folks, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. Folks, that's why in chapter 18, when we read our text today, if you limit this story to Abraham and Sarah, it's an impossibility. But when you bring an Almighty God into the picture, we now move from the realm of the impossible to the realm of the possible. Why? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I find it interesting that in the New Testament, three different times we are challenged with this thought regarding things that are impossible to men but are possible with God. We'll not turn there at this moment, but let me just highlight them. The first of the three occurs in Matthew chapter 17 when a father brings a demon-possessed son to the disciples and they cannot cast the demon out, though the demon is aggressively seeking to destroy the son in the water and in the fire. Jesus delivers the boy and then says this, nothing shall be impossible. May I simply say to you that Jesus used that term in the context of a significant family need. A second time, we see this same basic thought, and it occurs when Jesus has been teaching regarding a rich man and the difficulty of a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the statement is made, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples asked the question, how can this be? And Jesus said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now we are talking about a situation that involves a great spiritual need. The third time this thought occurs is in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 37. The angel has come to Mary informing her that without a natural human father being involved, she would conceive a child which would be the Son of God. And her question is, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And again, the statement is made, for with God nothing shall be impossible. May I say to you that now we're in the realm of a great physical need. Three times in the Gospels, a great family need, a great spiritual need, a great physical need. Three times this thought is portrayed that with God, the Almighty God, nothing will be impossible. Now, that brings us to here, now, and us. I wonder today, are there some folks sitting in this auditorium and you have an impossible need? A family need. A spiritual need. A physical need. Oh, it may not necessarily be you, but maybe it's a need represented in family, friends, those that you love, those that you care for. It's represented by a need that if God doesn't meet it, if God doesn't do it, if God doesn't provide it, if God doesn't make it happen, it won't happen because it is out of the realm of anything we can do, humanly speaking. We were in a church in North Carolina. And it was a week of meetings similar to this. And on a Sunday evening, the service had ended. One of the men was standing in the foyer. And I walked over to him, just greeted him. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Not real good." I said, "What's the matter?" "Oh," he said, "I don't know how much more I can take." He said, I'm an engineer, but he said, "I've been unemployed for several years. I can't find work." He said, "We've got a 21-year-old son that's away from God. It's breaking our hearts." He said, "My mother and my wife's mother are both dealing with serious illness issues. One was cancer, one was Alzheimer's, and one of them was an unsaved lady." And he said, "That weighs heavily on us." He said, "It's almost to the point I don't think I can take anymore." I said, "Brother, let's at least have prayer together. Could we do that?" And he and I stepped over into the corner of the foyer and we just bowed our heads and I led in prayer. I prayed about the job, prayed about the son, prayed about the two mothers. Said amen, we shook hands, we parted ways. Do you know that Wednesday night that 21-year-old son was in the service? Do you know that Friday night that man came into the auditorium, came looking for me, and he said, "Would you believe it? I got hired today for my new job." You say, "Brother Tom, you must have prayed one doozy of a prayer." No, I don't know that I did. At least any more so than the significance of the prayers that this man and his wife had prayed many times. But you know what God did that week? God reminded us again that He was the God of the impossible. Oh, I understand all about praying according to the will of God. But folks, sometimes I fear that we have been afraid to pray for the impossible because we didn't want to overtax or overload God. And if there's one simple truth I want us to get this afternoon from this message, it's the simple truth that our God is the God of the impossible. So how do you pray impossible prayers? Grab your revival journal. I'm going to give you three things that are a part of praying for the impossible. All right? We're not going to complicate this. We're going to keep this simple, but I want you to get a hold of it. When you pray for the impossible, what does it involve? Number one, boldness in our access. Boldness in our access. Let me give you a reference. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Folks, I fear that much of our praying keeps us very timid, very intimidated, and very embarrassed when we have an open invitation to boldly come into the presence of God with our need. First 9 years of my ministry in Pennsylvania, I was an assistant pastor to my father. And what that means is my dad and I had a single door between our offices. Folks, I cannot tell you how many times I kicked my chair back from my desk, scooted across my office floor to that door, and with no hesitation grabbed the doorknob and turned it and swung that door open. Now, can I tell you, I wouldn't do that to another pastor in the world. I wouldn't do that to your pastor. I believe in being proper. I go to the secretary or I call or I at least knock. But I can tell you that in the 9 years, hundreds of times, I did what I just told you. Here's why. He was my pastor, and there's a sense in which he was my boss. But folks, he was also my father. And my dad had made it very clear to the four of us children in the family that we had unhindered access. It didn't matter if he was on the phone or if he was studying or he was working or whatever it was. My dad made it clear that the four of us children, anytime, for anything, could come into his office to talk to him. And because of that relationship, that father-son relationship, that intimacy, it created an open door policy. And what did I have? Boldness to come into his presence. Men and women, you're a child of God. Your heavenly Father is the Almighty God. He's the God that eventually gave Abraham and Sarah a son. If it had been dependent upon what Abraham and Sarah could do, it wasn't going to happen. If it was dependent upon what an experienced medical doctor could do, it wasn't going to happen. If it was dependent upon the latest medical technology, it wasn't going to happen. But God did it. And that's the same God that you and I are talking to. The same God you and I are praying to. The Almighty God of the impossible. Let me give you a second thing. Number two, praying for the impossible involves brokenness in our attitude. Brokenness in our attitude. Again, let me give you the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Have you ever heard someone make the statement, well, you know, God helps those who help themselves? Did you ever try and find that one in the Bible? You won't do it. Folks, God is not being interested in helping you out. I've heard people pray a prayer that says, God, do for me what I can't do for myself. Folks, even at that point, we are still relying, at least to some degree, on our energy and our education and our experience and our expertise. No, when you pray for the impossible, do you know what you are saying? God, I can't. I can't. I am not sufficient. But God, you can. You are all sufficient. I've learned this in my own life, that impossible needs or situations have a very unique way of bringing me quickly to the end of myself. That's what brokenness is. I'm done striving, I'm done straining, I'm done stretching to make it happen. I can't. And I come to that point and I recognize God can. See, folks, here's what prayer, I've learned about prayer. People say, well, prayer changes things. You know what I've learned? Prayer changes things, but prayer changes me. And God wants me to bring me to that point where I see myself as nothing so that I can see Him as everything. And that's how you have to pray for the impossible. Folks, listen, I've had people share some things with me in the last month that are mind-boggling. I just was telling my mother on Friday, this is incredible, folks, but in the last 6 months, time and time and time and time again, my wife and I have dealt with people who are coming with broken hearts to say our children have now chosen alternative lifestyles. This is in churches just like yours. I can name you three or four right off the bat that we've just been told of in recent days. I can think of people right now that we've been with, spent time with, who are dealing with terminal illnesses. No medical hope, no medical cure available. I can think of some marriage situations. I sat with a man a week ago whose marriage at this point is as good as over. He said divorce is inevitable. I don't see any hope that this will change. Folks, I don't know what your crisis is today, but there may be some people sitting here right now and you're thinking of something that touches your life. It's impossible, humanly speaking. Folks, God wants to bring you to the point of the end of yourself, because it's often when we come to the end of ourselves that we have a new beginning with God. Man's extremity is often God's opportunity. When you see yourself as nothing, you see Him as everything. Praying for the impossible involves brokenness in our attitude. D.L. Moody said, real true faith is man's weakness leaning on God's strength. Let me give you the third thing. Praying for the impossible means believing in our approach. Believing in our approach. Hebrews chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You say, well, is it wrong to go to God saying, God, I know You will do what I'm telling You. Folks, I'm not talking here about a name it, claim it prayer life. We're not telling God that we believe He will. We're telling God that we believe He can. You say, why is that important? Because for a lot of us, our God is too small. We go to God with the idea, wow, if I hand God this prayer request, He's going to be pacing around heaven, wringing His hands, saying, oh boy, they've handed me a tough one this time. What am I going to do? No. God, I believe You can save. I believe You can heal. I believe You can provide. And it's that believing faith, that dependence, that trust in God that God honors. John Wesley said, faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities, and says it shall be done. You know what some of us need? We need a good dose of a God-sized prayer. A God-sized faith. We need to stop trying to bring God down a level where we can get a handle on Him. Folks, if you can ever get a handle on God, you might as well mark it down. He's not really God. You go through the Old Testament and you study the prayers of men like Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat. Those are just a couple that come to my mind. Isaiah being another. Men, Asa being another. Men who in times of incredibly overwhelming obstacle and odds against them prayed. You know how they began their prayers? They began their prayers by focusing on the preeminence and the power of their God. They didn't even talk about the problem or the need. They just started into a time of praise and worship to God for who He was. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about going to God, believing that He is. Spurgeon said, faith is waiting to see what God will do. Waiting to see what God can do. And folks, when you are focused on what God can do, rather than what you can do, isn't it amazing how many times we've prayed those Lord help me prayers? Lord help me do this, help me do that. When we pray for the impossible, we're realizing that it's not a case of God helping me. It's God doing it. And He can. What's your impossible prayer request today? Folks, I fear that at times we have limited God simply because we have failed to see Him as the God of the impossible. And I think one of the things God is wanting to do for us today, and I'm basically finished, is just let us get a whole new view of God Almighty. Can you imagine when Sarah brought that little baby boy into the world and handed him into the arms of Abraham? Can you imagine that elderly couple standing there looking at that little boy and saying, God did it. Folks, would you like to see God do some things in your church, in your families, in your lives that nobody can explain? Isn't it interesting that so much of what goes on these days can be explained? Even in ministry, borrowed money, latest technology, qualified people, there's always an explanation. Folks, I'd like to see God do some things that nobody can explain. And all we know to do is say, God did it. When we do, we are getting to know the God of the impossible. Folks, here's how we're going to close this service this afternoon. I want to share a little project with you that will be a part of this week that we're going to share together. I have a little card that we've had made up that we've used entitled The Impossible Prayer Meeting. It just simply says, but Jesus said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Folks, here's what we're going to do as we close this service. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet for prayer. After I pray, I'm going to put a stack of these cards on the first chair on each side of the front row. And we're going to just take a moment. And I'd like to invite you folks, if today there is an impossible prayer request, to just step from your seat, walk down the aisle and pick up one of these cards, take it back to your seat and write that request on the card. Now let me say this. You be as specific as you feel comfortable with. You don't have to name a name if you don't feel comfortable. You don't have to name a specific amount or of money or a specific financial or physical problem if you don't feel comfortable. But give what information you have. And then here's what I'd like to suggest. Before you leave this building today, just fold that card in half and would you give it to me on the way out of the auditorium. And then, starting tomorrow evening at 6:45, I'd like to invite you to meet me and the pastor and whoever else, 6:45, right up here at the front of the auditorium for a few minutes of impossible praying. And I think it would be exciting for the next 3 nights, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, if we just gathered together, Whoever can come, we're kind of used to sitting around, fellowshipping, visiting, whatever. But if you can come and just come on up here to the front, and we're just going to take these cards and pray over them. Do you know, I have been in services where we did this, stayed after the service and prayed, and the next night, less than 24 hours later, had people walk in and say, God answered my impossible prayer request less than 24 hours later.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.